I never pick my scriptures as a rule to read from nor to preach from. I always let him give it to me because he knows whatever we need for the hour and whatever is the right thing for correction and reproof. So, we let the Lord lead us. St. John, if you've got your Bible, I'd like to read to you of the 18th chapter. The 19th verse. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I have taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, but that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Hence, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold a man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called a pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called a place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seams, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There lay they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. For the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkins was about his head, and not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas saith with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, that's reading a lot of scripture, maybe a couple of chapters here. I'd like to dwell on a thought just a little bit. If you notice here, the Bible said that when they came to the sepulchre and they realized that Jesus was not there. They instantly saw that he was not in the sepulchre. They knew that he was not there. And when they realized that he was not in the sepulchre, the Bible said that they believed because they saw. They believed because they saw. Now, they believed because they saw. And then just a little farther over, we find that Jesus, having risen from the dead, he went into a place to where his disciples were at. And Thomas, not having seen, said, "I will not believe." I hope that you can see the connection between the two scriptures and see what the Lord is trying to bring to us. They saw the sepulchre, they saw the body gone, they saw the linen laying there, they knew that Jesus was not there, they saw the stone rolled away when they knew that Jesus had been placed in the sepulchre. They knew that Jesus had been put there because they themselves helped place his body there. So when they came and the stone was rolled away and there was no Jesus inside the tomb, then the Bible said they believed because they saw. Then it says that Thomas, who could not see, apparently had not seen the other, had not known what had taken place. When Jesus came and appeared unto Thomas, the Bible said Thomas had made the statement that I'm still not going to believe until I could put my hands into the nail prints and thrust my hand into the wounded side. Now that's unbelief, ain't it? Now you know, you talk about God having mercy. You talk about God being a merciful God. But you just stop and think how merciful God really is. Here is a man that was one of the disciples. One of the disciples. Now look at that. We have an account here that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, but a secret disciple because of fear of the Jews. Can you imagine somebody being a disciple and being a secret disciple? Can you imagine God even accepting anybody like that? Can you? And then we turn around here and we see Judas. And we understand what kind of disciple Judas was. And the Bible said he obtained part of that ministry. And then we come to Thomas. And we find out that Thomas was a disciple. I'm talking about disciples now. We find out that Thomas was a disciple. And yet he had so much unbelief in his heart that he wouldn't even believe until he could stick his hands in the nail prints. What a disciple. What kind of disciples were those? What kind of folks was in? Are you listening to me? And then we find that Peter was a disciple, and Peter turned around and cursed and denied that he ever knew the Lord. Somebody would have said, "My dear God, you mean to tell me that's the foundation of the church?" What I'm trying to get over to you is the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of God to our unbelief. They saw the tomb and they believed because they saw it. People today, they don't believe unless they see. Did you know that? They don't believe unless they see. I come here years ago, I said, I'm going to build a church here. There's going to be a campground here because God said there would one would be here. So I said, I don't believe it when I see it. They even come and confess now. Some of them come to me now. They say, "Brother Pike, I'll just have to confess the things you said. I didn't believe them, but I believe it now." Now, why do they believe now? They believe now because they can see now. But believing when you see is not faith. Isn't that right? You say, "Brother Pike, that's still faith." If that's faith, why did God say what he did to Thomas? He told him, he said, "You faithless ones." Didn't he? Those that had to see to believe, he said, "You that are faithless." They didn't have any faith. He called them men that was faithless, said, "You don't have any faith." That's not believing when you see something. You're seeing it with your own eyes. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it because you see it. Faith is when you cannot see it, my brothers and sisters. Faith is when you cannot see it. The Bible teaches that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are unseen. You understand what I'm saying? Faith is when you cannot see it. But like Abraham of old, you hear the voice of God say it. You embrace the voice of God and you say, Lord, I thank you because you said it. Faith is when you go down to the bottom of the mountain because God told you to do it. Take your only son, take him up to the top of the mountain, lay him down and start to take his life because God told you to do it. And God said he's going to restore the life and raise up a seed unto you. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is when I can stand here tonight and tell you something that you cannot see, that you do not know. All you have is my word. Faith is when you believe that. Faith. That's why the Bible said faith cometh by hearing. See, when Thomas saw, he believed. That was not faith. When Judas saw, he believed. That was not faith. He walked with Christ, but he didn't believe he was God. That's why that the Lord made such a fuss over Peter. Peter never saw God. But he said, I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you're the Christ. And the Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. But to Thomas, he said, Thomas, thou art faithless. Thou art faithless. You have to see to believe. But how wonderful it is when you've got faith. The Bible tells us that all men have not faith. All men have not faith, but some men have faith. Amen. Blessed are those that have faith. All men have not faith, but blessed are those that have faith because it's going to take faith to get into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know, God is so great and so wonderful until sometimes I get beside myself thinking about God and talking about God. I actually get beside myself. Sometimes when I'm at home praying or talking to God, I get to crying and I get to jumping, I get to hollering, I get to shouting. My family don't see it because I'm hid away with God. But I get beside myself for I get to thinking about faith and I say, my God, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And the more I think about it, the more I believe. The more I believe, the more I think about it. And the first news you know, I'm just like a rubber ball. I'm just running over. I'm just having the biggest kind of time because I believe. See, to him that believeth. Not everyone that can believe, not everyone, for God has not given this kind of faith to every man. The Bible said contend for the faith. You've got to do something to get the faith. You've got to put forth an effort to get the faith. See, if we can believe, all things are possible to them to believe. If you can believe, you can have anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything that's right for you to have, you can have it. You say, Brother Pike, but what is it that there is right for me to have? Health and happiness and prosperity, all of the world, everything that's in it. Everything that's pure, everything that's virtuous, everything that God created. It's in the world for you. It belongs to you. Having faith in God. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, women received their loved ones raised from the dead. By faith, great and mighty things took place in the Old Testament. By faith, Noah built an ark and escaped the wrath of God. By faith in God, he did it. Against all of the accusations, against all of the fault finding, against everything that was said, Noah worked by faith in God for many long years and built an ark to the saving of his household because he believed what God said. That's why God makes such a fuss, as we would say, over a person that believes. God makes a fuss over a believer because a believer is a great thing to God. God is a spirit. God is invisible. God hath no place in this world except that he come through a believing heart. If there is not a believing heart, God cannot come present in the world. God can do no great things in the world. The Bible said many great things Jesus could not do because of their unbelief. Though he walked as a man down here, he had to have an open door, has to have a channel. And the Bible said his eyes through going through the earth looking for the upright in heart. Why the upright in heart? Because the Bible said God purifies our heart by faith. It's when I believe that my heart is pure. when I can believe that my heart becomes pure. And God purifies my heart by faith. Hallelujah. That's why I get excited. In this world, there is a limitation to everything. Everything has a limitation. It doesn't matter if it's getting rich. It doesn't matter if it's loving your wife. It doesn't matter if it's buying a home. It doesn't matter what you do, going swimming, whatever. It has a limitation. You'll do it, and that's all there is to it. But in God and in faith, there is no boundaries. There's no limitations. It's from eternity to eternity, the great thrill and adventure of ever learning the things of God and discovering the riches of Christ. That's what thrills me so. Hallelujah. What a wonderful world. The world of faith. Hallelujah. So then, when I think about faith, here are these disciples. They were faithless, some of them. They stood there, yet they were numbered with Christ. Seen all the great miracles. Thomas had saw the Lord Jesus raise the dead. Had stood and watched Jesus, the Christ, bring Lazarus out of the tomb. When they said, by now he stinketh. But he still didn't believe. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what they need in this world is some signs and wonders. Now to save the church. I don't see how anybody can be so narrow-minded. That's not what they need in this world. That's not what they need. They need faith in God. Faith don't come by seeing signs and wonders. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. God didn't set a big ark out there before Noah and say, Noah, now here's a big ark. Can you believe? God said, by faith, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And he told him what he wanted. And Noah absorbed it, and Noah received it, and Noah did it. When the Lord called Peter, he didn't say, Peter, I'm building your platform out here, son. Now you see that platform? Come on out here, you'll be saved. He said, Peter, if you believe, come to me, son. And the Bible said Peter walked on the water. By faith he walked on the water. And today he has the testimony to himself and before the world that he walked on the water. How did he do it? By faith in God. The Bible said that faith is imputed unto us for righteousness. I have faith in my heart. If I have faith in my heart, then I draw the Holy Spirit into my heart. God purified my heart by faith, and I'm clean before the living God. Why is that? Because I believe in the blood atonement of Christ. And the Bible said the blood of Christ Jesus cleanseth me from all sin. All sin. All sin. Glory to God, I like that. You know, sometimes we don't stop, Jim, and really think about what the Holy Scripture says. You quote a scripture to somebody, they say, oh, I've heard that. What's next now? But oh, if you just stop sometimes and take one scripture and just stop and think on it. The blood of Jesus, the Christ, it cleanseth me from all sin. Oh, hallelujah. I know you don't understand what I'm saying, but if you'll stop and think on it for just a minute, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, all sin? I mean all sin. Praise God, I mean A-double-L, all sin. The blood of Jesus has taken away all of my sin. There is no more sin left in my life. No more spots, no more blemishes, no more wrinkles. But all of my sins are gone. Because his blood took away all of my sins. My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. God took them away. That's why God can purify my heart by faith. Not by something I'm going to do. But he purifies my heart by faith. Because my faith is in the shed blood of the Son of God. And his blood took away all of my sins. Therefore I believe by the blood that I'm free from sin. And believing in the blood atonement, Christ, his spirit comes into my heart. And it purifies my heart. Glory to God, that even gets close to Ray when I talk like that. When Ray tries to erase out his sins, he gets all frustrated and gets to feeling cast down. But when he thinks about the blood of Jesus Christ taking it all away, and that he doesn't have to do anything but believe, he gets stirred up about it. It touches his heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the way it does a person that's stained with the depths of sin. Glory to God. Don't that make you feel like dancing? Hallelujah. No wonder A.A. Allen danced, he believed. Glory to God. David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might because he believed. He is a believer. Hallelujah. For the Bible said in the Old Testament, it's written, I will give thee the riches of the Gentiles. All of the Gentiles is wealthy today. Ride down the road and see the great kings and the great rulers and the great homes, the great plantations. See all of these great things about you. See the great lakes and all of the beautiful things round about that they own. Thousands and thousands of acres. Beautiful cars, nice home, great buildings. The Gentiles own it. But God said, I will give unto thee the riches of the Gentiles. God wants me to have the riches of the Gentiles. They don't belong to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are a bunch of squatters. They're on my property. They're out there on my property. This world and the fullness thou belongs to me. Brother Pike, me. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said it belongs to me. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said all that I've got is yours. We've got a track here where the man said to the son, son, all that I have is thine, not part of it. And the Bible said, behold, God has given us all things in Christ. Would God, who gave me Christ, the best thing that heaven can afford, would he then hold back some feeble thing that's in the earth? Would God hold back some frivolous thing that's in the world? Would God hold back the stars and the moon and the sun after he gave me the brightness of all? Jesus to Christ. Hallelujah. So then I am a child of faith. I am born to the Holy Spirit. I am a son of God. Not going to be a son of God. I am a son of God. I'm born of God. All things are mine. I belong to Christ. I am then without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. How then am I without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth me from all of my sins. So then I have no spots, I have no blemishes, I have no wrinkles. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, Paul said. Who then can condemn God's elect? For it is God that justifieth. Is it not Christ that descended into the lowest parts of hell, who hath gone further? Is it not Christ that has ascended into the highest parts of heaven and testified to my justification? Who then can condemn me? Christ is my Savior. Thus I am cleansed from all sin. I have faith in my heart. I get excited because when I think about faith, that means that if I want to go to Germany, I can go to Germany. That's right. Years ago, you know, I think, Lord, I'd love to go into the foreign fields and preach to the heathens. And I said, Lord, I can't afford to go into the foreign fields and preach to the heathens. God said, my son, believe. If you want to go, believe. Do you believe? He challenged my faith. He said, do you believe that you can go over there? If you believe, he said, son, you can go over there. I will pave the way. I said, God, I believe. I said, I'm going over there. That's where I talked to God. I said, God, I believe I'm going to take a trip overseas. The devil said, well, you couldn't possibly do that. I said, but I'm going to do it anyway. He said, but how are you going to do it? I said, God's going to pay my way. And so God paid my way. And wherever I take a notion to go, I just pray. I said, now, Lord, I want to go to this place. He'll say, do you believe? I said, I believe. He said, all right, you can go. Oh, he said, the Lord don't talk to you like that. I was preaching one time, and I said, the Lord said unto me, son. Somebody said, God ain't never said unto him, son. Yes, he does. He calls me son. Hallelujah. God calls me son. Isn't that wonderful? Why shouldn't he call me son? I am his son. I'm God's son. I got a right to be called son by my father. Hallelujah. Got faith in God. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether you got faith or not. Well, I do. I've got faith in God. If I've got faith in God, then God purifies my heart and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful experience. How wonderful it is to have faith. Now, I said something about the disciples tonight to show you something, folks.
to give you a helping hand in the time of need. See, I've done been through these valleys. I've done been through these dark places. I know His grace is sufficient. But some of you have not. Some of you are beginning to go through them. And some of you are going to need a helping hand. Did you know that? There's some dark, dark crossings in this world. There's some dark, dark valleys in this world. Did you know that? And you're going to have a helping hand. Amen. But His grace is sufficient. It was sufficient when Daniel was in the lion's den. All Daniel did. Somebody said, I wonder what Daniel did. My, Daniel must have been such a good man. I wonder what Daniel did. You know what Daniel did? One thing. Daniel looked over there at them hungry lions, and he knew that he had to believe. There wasn't no playing about it. Those fellas was hungry, and Daniel knew he had to believe in God. And he turned his faith on. Somebody said, oh, he just stretched out there and went to sleep. No, he didn't. He turned his faith on. Daniel turned his faith on. When Daniel got down there in the midst of those hungry lions, Daniel was a man just like I'm a man. And Daniel knew that them lions would break his bones. And Daniel set his faith in motion. Amen. That's right. Why you say you can't do that? Yes, you can. I remember one night I was way out under the stars, way down in weeds about up so high, about up like, you know, way up like that. And right down near a little old pond down there and way back in the woods. And you could just imagine snakes and you could hear voices and you could see everything and it was getting dark as pitch. And the devil said, boy, you sure are uncomfortable. Said, don't you wish you'd have never come down here? I said, God, I come down here without a match. I come down here without a knife. I come down here without anything. I haven't even got as much as a stick. I said, I come down here to prove faith, God. I said, now, God, them snakes belong to you. Now, this is the way I talked to him. I said, them snakes belong to you. And I said, whatever's roaming around in them woods belongs to you. And I said, and everything else belongs to you, and I belong to you. I said, and I come out here to worship and serve you, God. I said, now you make them things behave and leave me alone going about their business. I laid down, took me a little nap right in the grass. Oh, you say you couldn't do that. I did do it. Right there with the mosquitoes buzzing like a bunch of bees around honey. I just took me a little nap right there in the grass. I said, Lord, I'm going to lay down right here and just take me a little nap. And I laid down, took me a little nap. See, now how do you do that? By faith in God. By faith in God, you can do anything. I've been near the mountain, going off the mountain, fixing to go off the side of the mountain, snow under the tires, nothing to stop me, no traction. But I said, God, by faith, I'm not going off that mountain. And she'd slide, but she'd stop. She didn't go off the mountain. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you know you'd have slipped right off that mountain, but I believe God sent His angel and just... That angel just stood there with his hand against the car and said, you can't slide no further. Brother Pike's not going any further. He's got his faith up and I'll stand right here. And it didn't go over. Now I've heard the baby screaming and hollering and a begging and a crying, but God stomped it. How do you do it? By faith in God. When you use your faith in God, God will do it. You can't go up to it and say, oh, I hope it don't. God help me. My, what's we going? You can't do that. You got to take the idea. In Jesus' name, it will not. I said it will not. I said, now that, you know, I didn't think faith worked like that. That's exactly the way it works. That's why a lot of Christians don't ever get it. They got the idea that you have to be so sweet and tender and go up and say, I believe. That ain't the way it is at all. Jesus said, that unclean spirit, come out of her. And it came out. When you are dealing with faith, there has to be a command. There has to be a strongness of heart. There has to be something that means business. When you believe in, you got to believe. Not play, but believe. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it like that. That's why you haven't got anything. That's why you're no farther along than you are. That's the way it works. I know it works that way because I've used it many hundreds of times. It works that way. When you're hungry and you don't have anything to eat, you don't turn around and say, my God, help me, Lord. I think I believe God. God's going to give it to me. I know God's going to. You say, it's coming in the name of Jesus Christ. It will be here. That's faith. You say, well, I don't believe it. Why don't you try it and see if it works? So then when you got faith in God, you got to believe. Some people don't even believe they got faith in God. You say, do you believe you got faith in God? Well, I don't know. I hope I got faith in God. But you got to believe you got faith in God. How can you have faith in God if you don't believe it? Could you have $50 in your pocket and not believe that you had $50 in your pocket? Could you have $50 in your pocket and say, well, I hope I got $50 in my pocket. I think I got $50 in my pocket. I put $50 in my pocket. You can't do that. That wouldn't make sense, would it? If you know that you got $50, you know that you put $50 in your pocket. Somebody say, how much you got in your pocket? I got $50. Isn't that right? That's the way it is with faith. If God's word says it, then that's the way that it is. If God tells me something, that's exactly the way that it is. I believe it. Now, we had to stay up so many nights, years of late, numbers of nights you don't know about. But the devil said, okay, old buddy, you're going to break down. You can't make it. And it's been nights when I was breaking. I was breaking, talking to God. The devil said, get up, get up. You can't make it. The old natural man said, ain't no way. Man, I'm popping right now. I'm breaking right now. I'm gone right now. I'd say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to pray. I'm going to stay here and talk to God. And ain't nothing happening to me. And I'd stay right there. And everything was all right when the daylight came. Hallelujah. Get up and start another good day. I've had death to come around. Come around, I mean death, not playing, death. I've had death to come around in my room. And I could hear that dark, grim reaper say, I've come for you. I'd say, death, I don't have any time for you. I'm busy. And when I get through, then I'll be finished. And if the Lord sends you, you can come. But until then, get out of here. I'm busy. I don't have time to mess with you. You say, Brother Pike, you don't talk like that. My hand be raised to heaven. That's the way it is. Because that's the way faith is. You can't play. Faith has got to be real. You've got to say it and you've got to believe it and you've got to mean it. And I'll tell you what. When you do that, God will stand by you. All right, give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. When you're on the mountain and the brakes are gone. When you're in the valley and there's no hope. When you got problems in your body. When you got problems in your home, when you got problems with your finance, what can you do? You must believe. You must believe. Jesus didn't make any to-dos about it. He just said, if thou canst believe in thine heart that whatever you say is going to happen, he said, you will have whatsoever you say. It doesn't matter what it is. If you can believe, you can have whatsoever you say. Isn't that right? We've got some good reports as of late. There's been healings. We prayed to God. And then we spoke in the word of authority concerning the request. And I said, God, it will be this way. And it's that way. It must be by faith in God. It must be by faith. If I believe, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Now, you say, well, I can think of some things that didn't happen. I wish you'd come and tell me about them. Say, well, I got one. I'll be looking for you after service. I'll get them to let you in. It could be that you might have the wrong understanding. But if you haven't, come down and tell me about it because I'd like to know about it. So then when somebody says something in faith and they believe, it's got to happen. In this world, we have a power and an authority from God. And that power and authority is that whatever we say, if we believe it in our heart, it's got to come to pass. I'm going to say some things that you'll probably kick up your heels at. You know, the man of God will pray for somebody and something will happen. And then when somebody testifies to it or the man of God testifies, somebody will say, Jesus done it. You know why they do that? Somebody says, to give God the glory. It's Satan trying to get around the word. And God will get them sooner or later because they are the enemy of God in their mind. That's not God's word to talk like that. You understand? What is God's word? Jesus said, you go heal the sick. Whatever you bind on earth, whosoever sins you remit, I give unto you power. And God said, you can have the gift of healing. You can have the gift of faith. You can have the gift of discernment. You can cast out devils. And these signs shall follow them that believe. All right. Like Jesus said to them one time, said that you might know that the Son of Man hath power in the earth. There was no dispute over the fact that God had power in the earth. Did you know that? Why, anybody would tell you that God appeared to Moses over there on the mountain in that day. There was no dispute as to whether God had power or not. But Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man. I'm a human being like you are. The thing that's in question is whether or not I have authority. That you might know that the Son of Man hath authority in the earth. He said, take up your bed and walk. And they went off with it. And the Bible said they believed. You know why they believed? Because they saw. They saw. Blessed is the man that can accept God's word for it and believe. See, look. The Bible said if a man speaks something and it come to pass, then have fear of that prophet. It didn't say have fear of God. It said have fear of that prophet. Isn't that right? Why? Because God is in the life of that prophet, and God has given that prophet power in the earth, and that power is to say what he will, and it will be done. If that prophet says, take his head off, his head's gone. If that prophet said, let fire come down and devour 50, that 50's gone. If that prophet stands like Moses did and said, let the earth open up and swallow them up, if I be a man of God, they're gone. If that prophet stands there and says, like he did to Ananias and Sapphira, you've lied to God, they're gone. If that prophet turns anybody over to the Satan for the destruction of the flesh, they're gone. You love Jesus? I will make them to come and kneel at your feet, Jesus said, and know that I've loved you. Now, the devil certainly would love to have it. You know, to say, well, nobody can do anything but Jesus. He'd love to have it that way, wouldn't he? Because you know what he would say? He'd say, Jesus ain't here, show him to me. Wouldn't he? Well, that'd be neat for him. He loves to quote the scriptures. Wouldn't he? Isn't that right? As a man here, he just can't stand me. That's why he can't stay in his seat. You know why? Satan is driving him. That's why. But he's got a sad end coming if he's not careful. I've already seen the judgments coming his way. I'll trouble them that trouble you, and he's troubled me. Now then, what God wants me to do and you to do and us to do is to have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. God tells me that I am a son of God. He tells me that I must believe in God. He tells me that whatever I say, if I believe it, it must come to pass. If I say it and don't doubt it, it must come to pass. God tells me to decree a thing in my heart that I might be satisfied in the earth with things. The Bible said that the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, God wants you to have power. The Bible said you tarry till you be endued with power from on high. That's what he told the disciples. The Bible said, when you receive power, then you'll be my witnesses. God wants you to have enough holiness in your heart, enough conviction in God's word to believe what God said about it. God said, Moses, you go down there and tell Pharaoh, I am. Pharaoh said, look, said, who's doing this? Who told you to come down here? What's going on? Moses said, I am. That's good enough. And old Pharaoh more or less is to stick out his tongue and say, if it's just you, I'll show you what I'll do. And he hardened his heart, didn't he? Didn't he rebel against the man of God? Moses said, I am. I am. See, God wants a personal relationship with you. God wants you to come to the place to where you are like Jesus. You stand there and say, they say, by what authority and what name you do this? Jesus stood there and said, my Father work, I work hitherto. Said, if you want to see if I got some authority, said, just cross me. Wasn't that right? Peter and Paul said, I had the power to turn you over to the devil. Said, if you don't believe it, just cross me. Did they do it? They did it. God is wanting the church to rise up in power and in sonship and let the world know that they've got power and authority. It's like the little boy we're talking about. And I prayed for God to straighten his eyes up. I prayed earnestly. And God showed me he'd straighten his eyes up. He straightened his eyes up. They're straight today. But the daddy got to preaching and the daddy went by and began to tell people, said, well, I didn't pray the prayer of faith. Said, I prayed the prayer of faith. And God straightened his eyes up. The next child was born, the eyes was crooked. The daddy hadn't straightened them up yet. God challenged him. His daddy quit preaching. Started cursing and drinking. God knows that if we live holy, if we walk upright, the Bible said, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, because thou hast loved righteousness. God wants us to love righteousness. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be upright. You believe that? It's like Sister Jameson came a few nights ago and said her daddy was in a dying condition. I don't know where it was, cancer. What was it, Sister Jameson? Could you tell us what it was? Kidney disease. You said he was dying with it. Is that right? They wasn't looking for him to live. But he's up now. Is that right? He's doing all right. We prayed. We went to God and we prayed to God. It's like Ray's mother. She come here and the doctor said she was going to die. We prayed for her and God touched her body. And Ray said, she went back and said the doctors was amazed at how that she wasn't having any trouble out of cancer. And I said, if she stays down there, something will happen to her. And she went back to the Catholic Church. And the next thing that happened, a tumor busted in her head and she died. But if we believe, God will do what we ask him to do. If we believe, but we've got to believe. I believe. I can feel the unbelief in some of your minds right now. But I feel some of you that believe in God. What God's word says is right. I believe. I don't have to convince myself. Because I believe. I'm enjoying my faith. I'm enjoying the things of God. My cup is running over. But I'm trying to get it into your mind that God wants to bless you. That the Son of Man might have power in the earth. It's not a dispute as to whether God's got power or not. The devil knows God's got power. He's not disputing over that. But he's disputing over the fact that Adam has any right to the earth. That Adam, it has been taken away from Adam by Satan. Adam doesn't have any power according to Satan. Adam doesn't have any authority. Adam can't do anything in the earth. But according to the Bible, Adam can. Hallelujah. Through the redemption of the Almighty God, Adam can do anything he wants to do whenever he gets ready. The government shall be upon their shoulders. You know what the government is? That means a controlling factor. That means that they are in control. It's on my shoulder. I'm in control. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you do, whatever you bind, whatever you say, whatever you ask, it'll be that way. You decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. Now, somebody said, now where does Jesus fit into this? He said, all I ask you to do is one thing. Just do it in my name. That's all. That's all. Just do it in my name. That's all I ask. Whatever you want to do, just go on and do it, but just do it in my name. Isn't that right? Somebody said, yeah, but I know the Bible said to cast out devils in his name. You never read that in the Bible. The Bible said they done it. Jesus said, no man cast a devil out in my name, speak evil of me. Said they said we've done all these things, but there's no record where they ever done them. You love Jesus? Amen. Brother, when you find a man casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ, you better be afraid of that fella. Because he's got some power. If he's got power over the devils, you better be sure he's got power over you. All right. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Probably close soon if you don't get so restless. If you get too restless, I have to go in a while so I won't give place to the devil. All right. So then, I want to believe. I do believe. I must pray to God. I must serve God. I must keep my heart holy. I must be upright in heart before God. How can I be upright? By faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Christ Jesus cleanseth me from all of my sins. I am his representative in the earth. And the devil needs to know that we have power and authority in the earth. We walk in his name. We testify in his name. Whatever we do in the name of Jesus, that he might receive the glory. But brethren, let the devil know that you've got power, and let the devil know that you've got authority, and let the devil know that whatever you say is coming to pass. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Somebody said, I'll tell you right now, boy, the devil just about got me. I don't doubt that a bit. Anybody with a testimony like that's bound to be in trouble with the devil. That's right. But now when you say, now wait a minute, the Bible said for me to resist the devil and he'll flee from me. Say, look, devil, get behind me. Get behind me. I have no time to mess with you. You get behind me. I'm busy. I might say, well, you just can't tell the devil that. Yeah, you can. How do you know he's going to do it? Because the Bible says he's going to do it. But what's going to make him do it? Because I believe it. I believe it. I believe it by his word. He cast out the unclean spirits. If the word says, Satan, get behind me, I say, Satan, get behind me. I believe the word. The devil gets behind me. How do you understand that's right? Did you know that when the sunlight is up here before you, that the shadow's behind you? And did you know that the devil don't get in front of you until you get this behind you? That's right. When you turn away from the light, then you're going to put the devil in front of you. Isn't that right? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll keep the devil behind you. You don't have no problem with him. If you walk in the darkness, it's because you've turned away from the light and you put the darkness in front of you. You can't tell where you're going. All right. I want you to stand with me. I had some things I want to say to you, but when I got over there to that part about me having some power and authority, some of the religious people froze up again to try to protect God's glory. You know, Brother Pye was taking his glory away from him. Begin to freeze up, and they let the devil in and hinder what we was trying to do good. All right, so it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to know where you're going. It's wonderful to know what you're doing. Because if you don't, the carnal mind will overwhelm you. And the carnal mind will bring such accusations until you'll be a defeated foe in the earth, and you'll never do nothing for God. But if you'll take the word of God and obey the minister and believe God's prophets, you'll prosper. A lot of people say, well, if I believe God, I'll prosper. It didn't say that. It said, you believe God's prophets, you prosper. See, God is in his temple. Let all the world keep silent. Isn't that right? It didn't say God is in his building. It said God is in his temple. Isn't that right? There ain't no way to get around it. It's a high you can't get over. It's a low you can't get under. It's a wide you can't go around it. You got to go in at the door. Having a little dispute the other day. Somebody was about this. Different things, you know. About they could go to God and just get what they wanted for themselves. You can't do that. A man that's a sinner, he can't go to God and get nothing. All he can do is get down on his face and beg for mercy. And he can't even do that till he hears the gospel. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Some might say, well, he don't hear after hear no preacher. If he just get down on his knees and call on God, he ain't going to even know to get down on his knees until somebody tells him. Some might say, well, anybody know that? Not until they're told. If they can just do it without a preacher, why send anybody to Africa? Why bother to evangelize the world? What's God doing wasting all of our time and his time and your money? Sending somebody into the world to preach the gospel. Why do that? You know why God does it? Because they can't be saved unless God does do it. That's why the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. You know, we don't fathom the depths of the scripture when he says, how beautiful are their feet. Why does he say that? Why does he esteem them so high? Because there's no way you can get eternal life unless they come your way. God said when that preacher's in the land, my God, how beautiful is his feet. Say, I love Jesus. That intellectual mind won't let you rest, will it, brother? It's tearing you to pieces. But you've got to confess it because that's what the book says.
That's right, amen.
All right. I feel your spirits wrestling against me with that old intellectual mind. Now, Jesus said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? See, what is it? It's one thing. It's got to be a preacher. Somebody said, well, God will tell me what he wants me to know. The Bible said God will tell you whatever the Holy Ghost will bring you your remembrance. Whatever I've taught you. Whatever I've taught you. And I said, when did God ever teach anybody? The Bible said, as it's written in here, they shall all be taught of God. When? Somebody said. The Bible said, when the minister speaks, it's not him, but it's God. God does all the preaching. How do you know that? All should be taught of God. Let the world keep silent. God's in his temple. So then, judgment where? In the house of God. Whosoever sins God remits will be remitted. Whosoever sins God retains shall be retained. Whatever God binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever God looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus, now you say, where you get that? The Bible said, you're God's. Members of the body of God in particular. Jesus is the head of the body. You love Jesus?
Amen.
Let this mind be in you. What mind? The head of the body. All right. I'm going to say this a little bit and then we're going to try to close. If there's no need for the preacher, no need for the prophets, whereas the Bible said you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But if there's no need, whereas there'd be no city if there's no foundation. But for the benefit of your doubt, if you say if there's no need, then why evangelize the world? Why bother to try to preach the people? Why bother to try to tutor the people? Somebody said, well, now you got me persuaded. I believe that we ought to have preachers. Then why don't you listen to them and obey them and pay attention to them and do what they tell you? He that believeth my prophet shall prosper. If you believe, then why don't you do it? So then, we must go into all the world. The Bible said, did not their sounds go into all the earth? Somebody said, what about them places in the earth, Brother Pike, that nobody's never heard a preacher? The Bible said, did not their sounds go into all the earth? Sure. How did he say that? Because the gospel must first be preached in all the world for a witness. And he saw that it was preached in all the world, and he heard it by faith. After it was preached, he saw it through the telescope of time. And he said, did not their sounds go into all the earth? But he said, who hath believed our report?
Amen.
Faith cometh by believing the report. All right, so in the face of the scorners, in the face of the devils, in the face of the demons, in the face of money men, and all the wicked sect of the world, and the religious sect of the world, the ministers of God and the sons of God stand unmolested, and they stand without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, with all power in heaven and earth to say what they will, and it will be done.
Amen.
All right, so it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Somebody said, well, I just don't believe it. Well, be in bondage to the devil for the rest of your life. I do believe it. You're either going to serve the devil or the devil's going to serve you. It depends on which one you want. Man is made a little lower than the angels. Did you know that? And demons are fallen angels. And that means they're stronger than man and they're going to hold him in captivity. Somebody would say, well, if that be so, Brother Pike, then that means you can't do nothing. Oh, yes, because I'm not a man. Sons of God are stronger than fallen angels. They have the authority and the preeminence. And behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. For to as many as believed, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. That's power over all the powers of the enemy. So that being a son of God, all things belong to me. And I'm happy about it. I'm right happy about it. I'm just thankful, you know. Praise God. I believe it. I believe it. Noah believed it. He enjoyed the fruits of it. I believe it. I have for many years enjoyed the fruits of it, still enjoying and expecting to enjoy great fruits. Let's sing this little song. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the name of Jesus, lovely Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.